Surah Al-Ahzab, which is the 33rd surah of the Noble Quran. Ahzab is the plural of Hizb, which means a group or party. It was in the 5th year after the Hijrah that the Quraysh of Mecca and numerous other tribes converged on Medina in opposition to the Muslimin. A battle ensued, which consequently was named the Battle of Ahzab. Because of the numerous groups that gathered there, the battle is also referred to as the Battle of the Trenches, Khandaq, because of the Muslims had dug a trench around Madinatul Munawwara to defend the town. There is a narration of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu that suggests that Surah Ahzab was revealed when certain mushrikeen like Walid bin Mughira, Shayba bin Rabi told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that they would give him half of their wealth if he were to abandon his message. The Jews and the Munafiqeen of Medina had also threatened to kill Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam if he did not forsake his message. It was on this occasion that the surah was revealed. Something significant that happened at the beginning of the war, at the beginning of the somewhat mini exchanges, that while the Muslims were digging the trenches around Medina, there was one particular area that wasn't well fortified, and Amr bin Abdul Wud, one of the leaders of the Kuffar, had been able to penetrate the Muslim ranks and get through that trench. When he came to the other side, he wanted to have a duel, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu went forth to tackle him, to fight him. Before the duel ensued, Sayyidina Ali, he said to Sayyidina Ali, "Go away, I don't want to kill you." And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, "But I want to kill you." And Sayyidina Ali floored him, and after flooring him, it is said that the kuffar were willing to pay 10,000 gold coins just to get his corpse back. So that is what an instrumental person this Amr bin Abdul Wud really was. When we look at the themes of this noble surah, basically it covers the aspect of the Islamic directives and etiquettes. It also focuses on divine injunctions and promulgations. And then there's a discussion of two expeditions. One is the Ahzab that we spoke about, and also the Qurayza, which is another expedition that took place. Allah Rabbul Izzah makes reference to what had transpired and also gave instruction to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by advising him. In the opening verses, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, "Ya ayyuha nabiyu taqillaha, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, fear Allah, ittaqillah, fear Allah, wa la tuti'il kafirina wal munafiqeen, and do not follow the disbelievers and the hypocrites. Inna Allaha kana aliman hakima," undoubtedly Allah Rabbul Izzah is ever aware, all knowing, all wise. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is advised to place his trust in Allah Rabbul Izzah, and therefore it's told, "Wattabi' ma yuha ilayka min rabbik," follow that which has been revealed to you. "Inna Allaha kana bima ta'maluna khabira," surely Allah is aware of whatever you do. "Watawakkal 'ala Allah," and place your trust in Allah. "Wakafa billahi wakila," Allah Rabbul Izzah is sufficient as an helper. So just as it has always been the norm of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he has placed his trust in Allah and that he has continued to fear Allah, he is reminded in this regard that he should continue fearing Allah in the future as well. And he is told that he should not listen to what the unbelievers and the hypocrites say, irrespective of how big a force they muster up, irrespective of their plots and their plans, irrespective of their false demands which they seek to make, irrespective of their devious words of advice, irrespective of how they try to incline the messenger. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is told that leave all of that aside. You should not bother in the least about these people. Do not allow the fear of anyone but Allah to come in your heart. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is told that he should obey the command of that one Allah and submit before that one Allah alone, even if the entire world rallies against you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is told, never listen to anyone if this entails going against the orders of Allah. Allah Rabbul Izzah is aware of everything. He issues the order with absolute wisdom. And you should command, you should accept and submit to that. And when you continue to obey the orders of Allah and continue to place your trust in Him alone, that Allah through His power and His might will accomplish all your tasks. It's for your own benefit, because Allah alone is worthy of being worshipped and trusted. Allah Rabbul Izzah is the one who has accepted your du'as in the past, and He continues to support and be a sense of security for you. Allah Rabbul Izzah then speaks about a specific situation, and this is with regards to zihar. That was a common practice amongst the Arabs. Now, what was this all about? Zihar was common in the early Arabs. It literally meant that they used to tell their wives, "You are like my mother's back to me." And by saying this, they intended that their wives were perpetually forbidden for them to marry, just as their mothers were. The Muslim had to say the same. He would have to pay an expiation, and the details of which will come in the later surahs where there is more detail on this. Allah Rabbul Izzah refutes this and says that by you saying this to your wives, it doesn't change any condition. Comparing your wives to your mothers doesn't make them haram upon you. Just as a person does not have two hearts within him, in like manner a person cannot have two genuine mothers. A child cannot have two genuine fathers. During the Jahiliyyah, if a person referred to his wife as his mother, he would be separated from her for the rest of his life. And this was as though she became his genuine mother just by saying that one word. So if a boy was addressed as one's son, he would be considered to be one's genuine son, and all rules applicable to the son would be applied to him as well. So Allah Rabbul Izzah distinguishes between this superficial relationship and a genuine relationship. Therefore, Allah Rabbul Izzah deals with the issue. And the issue also was related to Sayyidina Zayd radiallahu anhum, who was the adopted son of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was known as Zayd bin Muhammad, but once these verses were revealed, he was then changed to Zayd bin Haritha, his original father. He was given the choice to go back to his father, but he chose to be alongside Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So dealing with this, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ. Allah has not placed two hearts within any man's chest. And Allama Qurtubi says that a person by the name of Jamil bin Ma'mar Fahri, he was renowned for his intelligence and outstanding memory. And people claim that he possessed two hearts, and also claim the same, adding that his intellectual perception was superior to that of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it transpired that he participated in Badr. And when the mushrikeen were defeated at Badr, Abu Sufyan inquired from Jamil about the result of the battle. And he replied that the Meccans were conquered. And Abu Sufyan asked him why his one sandal was in his hand, while the other one was on his foot. And he said that he thought his sandal was on his foot. It was then that people realized that he was not really as intelligent as they thought he was. And there are people like that, you know, who put on a false, pretentious display, trying to exhibit some sort of superior intelligence. And eventually they get caught out when it comes to simple issues related to deen. That if your mind doesn't function as it ought to function in terms of recognizing the truth, submitting to the will of Allah, then no matter how superior you consider yourself, it all means nothing, because the true grade is nothing but our deen. Allah Rabbul Izzah then moves further to the issue of zihar, which we spoke about, and Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَمَا جَعَلَ أَزْوَاجَكُمُ اللَّهِ تُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْهُنَّ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. And Allah has not endowed men. In fact, moving further, Allah says He has not made your adopted sons your true sons. He has not made your wives, whom you declare to be your mothers, your true mothers. وَمَا جَعَلَدْ يَاكُمْ أَمْنَاكُمْ And He has not made your adopted sons your true sons. ذَلِكُمْ قَوْلُكُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ Those are merely statements that you make. They are merely a statement from your lips. Allah speaks the truth. وَاللَّهُ يَقُولُ الْحَقَّ وَهُوَ يَهْدِي السَّبِيلِ Allah Rabbul Izzah speaks the truth, and only He guides to the straight path. How does He guide to the straight path? By declaring the fact that an adopted child cannot be regarded as a real child because he or she is not really an adopted. And so those are some of what has transpired.